in whom we worship, in whom we come to be guided and led by, in whom we are created, in whom we stand today. We are still in Epiphany, this revelation time where God continues to reveal himself to us. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. All right. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They don't have any wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby were six stone water jars used for the Jewish cleansing ritual, each able to hold about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some from them and take it to the head waiter," and they did. The head waiter tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the groom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first. They bring out the second-rate wine only when the guests are drinking freely. You kept the good wine until now." This was the first miraculous sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for this moment. Hide me behind the cross, O God. May this message be clearly from you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We sit amongst one another. We worship you online. Remove anything from our hearts that may hinder us from hearing from you on this day. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. So there is this story that a police officer pulled over a priest, asking him, "Reverend, have you been drinking?" The priest replied, "Just water, officer, just water." The policeman said, "Then why do I smell wine?" And the priest said, "Good Lord, Jesus has done it again." Quite frankly, everybody loves a good party, especially a wedding reception. When couples request a homily at their wedding, I often preach this passage. People are in anticipation and expectation of joyous and a celebratory future. Hardships are at bay, at least in that moment. And on two separate occasions, I have heard the wedding homily renewed broken and tired relationships at the wedding. Saints, everybody loves a good party, full of smiles and jokes and laughter. But there's something particularly special about a wedding celebration. Today's beloved text may have you remembering your own celebration or one particular event you have attended, remembering the fun and possibly even the mishaps that occurred. We find ourselves situated amid the story of a familiar wedding setting, a wedding that changed everything. I have to admit, and I do this occasionally, I struggled with this text because this narrative is often quoted with five words and very little context, if any context at all. We often hear at parties, well, Jesus turned water into wine, and that's it, giving blanket permission that anything goes. I have to admit, I have personally wrestled with this text because I believe it is imperative to not discard or overlook those who struggle with or have broken relationships because of alcohol or any other addiction. I have wrestled with this text because it is not only the first miracle of Jesus as reported in the Gospel of John, but it is also a discipleship message, a follow me message that is often overlooked. I have wrestled with this text because even though we find ourselves amid this ancient yet familiar wedding setting, we are reminded in moments of struggle that when Jesus is invited, wherever Jesus is invited, all things are possible, including miracles. Some of you may already know this, but weddings in the ancient world lasted for days, even weeks. In some cultures today, weddings take place over a period of months. There are ceremonial traditions that are celebrated over weeks at a time with family and close friends. There are pre-wedding ceremonies, bachelor and bachelorette parties. There are first ceremonies, and even for some cultures, a ceremony after the honeymoon. I can't imagine the cost, but I'm certain if refreshments and appetizers and drinks and food or wine run out when the host is responsible for these things and cuts the party short, it could quite possibly be a social disaster. So today, our text begins in disappointment and not in celebration. The wedding festivities, the party in today's passage, has come to a halt. The glasses or goblets are bone dry. Quite possibly there is no more dancing and no one being merry. In the text, we are put on notice that something different is going on than purely a concern for a host's embarrassment. You know, in the South, we would rather have too much of everything than not enough, right? So these images of a social disaster, whether it's pimento cheese sandwiches, sweet tea, or something even stronger, it has the power to evoke emotions of anxiety, shame, and compassion. Have you ever had someone run to the store for you because you ran out of something and grabbed more of what it is that you needed? I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this anxiety. I certainly have. But the possibility overflows in today's verses. Saints, in my family, parties are an abundance of food, which there is always more than enough, to the point where we all bring our own containers to take leftovers home. The host will not hesitate, unless it's my dad's gumbo, to offer up the leftovers. So our text begins by informing us that the wedding in Cana on its third day of festivities, the wine has run out. I mean, think about it. If this is just a week-long celebration where the host provides everything, this party is in real trouble. So let's stop here for a moment and hang out for a bit. On this day, as I said earlier, it's Human Relations Day, where we celebrate our generosity as the United Methodist Church towards those in need in the world. So let's stop here for a moment. On the eve of this celebration of the observance of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, this text invites us to remember struggles and injustices that continue to plague us today and the hope of Jesus Christ that undergirds it. We are in a significant place of human need, and we see that in this text. Wine was used in ancient times for various medicinal needs. And in this narrative, Jesus transforms water, the spring of life, where the Gospel of John says, "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This spring of life, Jesus transforms into wine, a healing elixir. See, transformation is not just change. It is a metamorphosis. It is the induced or spontaneous change of one element into another. This is a wedding that changed everything. Mark 2:22 says, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skin, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. Instead, new wine is poured into new wineskins." Jesus turned water, a wellspring of life, into wine, a healing source. Whether this text talks about the dialogue between Mary and Jesus, the wedding banquet itself, the symbolism throughout, or that Jesus transformed 20 to 30 gallons of water to around 600 to 900 bottles of wine, the Gospel of John is revealing to us this day, in the least likely of places, when Jesus is invited, transformation is possible and God is revealed to us. There is a human need for Jesus in society today. Maybe it's to avoid social disaster. Social disaster can ruin a life. There are stories of churches purchasing washers and dryers to put into schools because some kids do not have clean clothes, leading to anxiety, shame, and embarrassment that hinder the students from learning and social interaction. Jesus can transform nothing into something, water into wine. To avoid someone being hindered from life. Perhaps there is a human need and not just wine overflowing from our text. We are witnessing an interconnectedness of human need, compassion from Mary, action from Jesus, and obedience from the servants, so that God's glory is revealed. Now, January is the new year, and on the Jordan bank, we witnessed Jesus' baptism along with countless others. Life is new through water. We also have been offered up a drink from the new covenant at communion. Life is made new. So what if, saints, this wine can be utilized as an analogy for what we as society face on a day-to-day basis? What if this wine represented abundance and strength? So what do we do when the wine runs out? What if this wine represents love and generosity and kindness? So what do we do, saints, when this wine runs out? MLK said, God is still around, and one day you're going to need him. The problems of life will begin to overwhelm you. Disappointments will begin to beat upon the door of your life like a tidal wave. And if you don't have a deep and patient faith, you're not going to be able to make it. What if this wine represents a deep and patient faith? And that, too, begins to run out. We go back to the text, and we hear the words of Mary to the servants: do whatever he tells you. We've talked about this before in our society. We don't like being told what to do. We've seen it play out all over our world. However, doing whatever Jesus commands, whatever Jesus tells you to do, is the essence of discipleship. By outwardly showing the world our inward transformation of God's grace. So when the wine runs out, strength, patience, at times love and kindness, we seek life at its source in Jesus Christ. When the wine runs out, we seek this deep and patient faith by being in worship, singing praise songs, praying together, working together to serve our community in mission. When the wine runs out, we seek instruction from our God for how to love with action through grace. When the wine runs out, we seek to hear from God and do what God tells us. Feed the hungry, clothe the needy, help the helpless. Be generous on every occasion, because God loves a cheerful giver. When the wine runs out, we continually and consistently act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Saints, Cana is a village with no significant or special circumstance. It's not even mentioned in the Hebrew scriptures. And this wedding tale is told with very few verses. Verse 3, when the wine failed, when the wine ran out, and the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." One verse set the stage for this miracle of Jesus. And God revealing himself to humanity. I am a believer in miracles, and I witness the stories people tell. I also believe God continues to reveal himself through worship, through one another, through relationship, by being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Maybe God does not reveal himself to us by this huge bombastic event of turning water into wine, as told in this narrative. But God no longer needs to do this because he sent his son. See, when we are in relationship, any relationship, it is the small, consistent acts of love that matter. For the guests at the wedding, they never knew what took place. They just thought the host saved the best for last. They didn't know in a back room, God was revealing himself to servants, not kings or queens, emperors or council members. This is a wedding that changed everything. To believe in Jesus is to live a life within a life. Nothing has changed. Hardships will come. Yet change and transformation is within each of us. What had been water is wine. What had been word became flesh. This is a story of a hope-filled time that continues to reach each of us today. An ordinary family wedding where someone invited Jesus and a miracle happened. So the question for each of us this day and every day after this one, will we believe the master of the wedding feast who gives the command to fill the jars with water, draw some out, is capable of making all things new? Empty seats into discipled seats. Fellowship time into relationship time, grace into love, into hope, into a patient faith that manifests God's glory. So people will believe in Jesus Christ. So when the wine runs out, we strive to be obedient to God and do what he tells us. When the wine runs out, the party doesn't end. It just begins. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creative one, God Almighty. And through your Holy Spirit, conceived in Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the